Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold, and as promised, I want to get into more about Foster Moreau. He looked good. We can talk more about him as a football player as we go on. Right now, let's talk about the whole cancer situation, right? So he was diagnosed with a rare form of Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the fortunate thing for Foster is it did not require chemotherapy. It did not require radiation. He had to have four treatments of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the drug. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of the strain of cancer that he had, because it's not even important, other than it was a very non-aggressive version of this type of cancer. And one thing he wants to make clear to people is that, like, this is a lot worse for a lot of other people. He got lucky. And this is what he had to say. Again, like, he wanted to make this very clear, and so I want to make it very clear to people as well.
To get it straight, my quality of life did not change. You know, I'll continue to fight this as long as I need to, and as many times as I need to fight this and then go back into remission, I will. And that'll be a life sentence for me. But in terms of the struggle that I had to face was more mental than anything. So the real heroes are the kids in the children's hospitals that are really fighting with real chemotherapy, real radiation. You know, those are the strong ones.
Yeah. And so, like, there's been a lot of questions about, like, oh, I mean, is he going to be able to get through a full season? How is he doing physically? I think he would tell you, and he has said this, that he has no limitations physically. He really wasn't affected that much from an off-season perspective. He had like 10 days where he couldn't work out. But other than that, it was very non-invasive. It was more of a mental challenge. You know, when the diagnosis, he got it and he just went home and cried, because it's like you don't even know how to react to that. Like, he didn't know at that point that it was going to be as simple as it was to address it. But, like, I think from this point on, Foster is probably going to want zero cancer questions. Like, he's focused on football now, and he can be because he was fortunate and how that all worked. But I just thought it was like, you know, I still see people saying, oh, I wonder when he's going to be able to get in the field and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's like reasonable when you hear so-and-so has cancer, but he is a full go. He was a full participant in this practice. He was in on third team reps with Jake Haener. If you had any limitations, it would have come on third team reps with Jake Haener. He was in there. So, like, from what I can tell, you are just a full go, and he is just like anyone else in that locker room.
I was really surprised to hear, too. I guess I don't know much about Hodgkin's lymphoma, but to hear it was something in his left clavicle, I didn't think that's where the issue would have been, honestly.
Well, I know it has to do with your lymph nodes, and that's where the lymphoma comes from. And I don't know. I know nothing about medical stuff. I know enough to be dangerous. That's why I don't want to say anything and get it wrong. I'm just like really relaying what he's saying, which is he's ready. And, you know, I think one thing that was interesting to me, and I asked him about, you know, what did you always want to come to New Orleans? Like, what was your plan? Obviously, he's from here. He played at LSU. He said when he was at LSU, he probably thought about it more than he should have and was like, that would be really cool to be in New Orleans. But once he got to, I guess, Oakland, at that point, he was a fourth round pick. He was ready to be a Raider for life. He never intended to go to free agency. And, like, the interesting thing for him was, you know, I don't think he even realized it. This is kind of what he said is like, until I got back, I didn't realize how good it would be to have that support system in New Orleans the way he did. And this is what he said about that whole situation when I asked.
It was an option, certainly. Honestly, I hadn't given it too much thought. I tried to go in with as much of an open mind as I wanted to. And I've said this before. I wanted to be a one club player, to be perfectly honest. I didn't want free agency to really even be a thing for me. I thought that was, you know, the guys that I always looked up to, the guys that I really respected, were always the guys that stuck it out with the guys that took a chance on them from the beginning. Loyalty is a major trait for anyone in this business. And that's something that I always wanted to show. But just the reception of loyalty based on absolutely no performance that I've ever given for anyone in this building, the respect that they showed me, I mean, it spoke volumes. It really did.
I thought that was an interesting answer, because normally you hear someone coming back home and like, oh, I've always wanted to do this. This is my dream. And he was just like, eh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, all right, yeah, I'm back. But he did mention too, like, he kind of, I forget his exact wording, but underestimated basically about needing that support system.
Yeah.
You know, being back around family and friends kind of thing. But during that time, I thought it was, you know, when he talked about even finding out about the diagnosis from Tom Amos, the Saints doctor, the fact that, you know, he broke down and cried, obviously. I mean, and you know, hearing that, you know, you can understand, because you don't know. When you hear that term, obviously cancer is a scary thing. And he talked about too that, though luckily with him, it's been more of, you know, that mental issue really than anything, and then kind of, you know, diverted it to being the real heroes of the kids at Children's Hospital fighting with real radiation and chemotherapy kind of thing.
Right. Like their hair's falling out, you know, that sort of thing. He's got a full head of hair. And I don't know, like it's interesting. He did say that Mickey Loomis called his agent the day after the diagnosis saying, we still want him here, like whenever he's ready. And I do think, like, you know, you hear about him say like, oh, well, I was always wanted to be a Raider, blah, 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 or Raider for life, whatever. And it's like, he had options in free agency. And I have a feeling that once, like the difference the second time around when he came back, right, he left for like a month and a half, whatever you want to say, is like, I think that kind of that helped him land on New Orleans, like that whole support system and everything. I did ask him if he had talked to Tyrann Mathieu, who obviously kind of did the same thing last year. He was the LSU guy, came back home. He's from New Orleans. He said he hadn't really talked to him yet, but I also asked Tyrann Mathieu what his advice would be to Foster Morrow. And I thought his answer was,
what would be your advice for a guy coming in to basically what you did last year, being the LSU star, coming home, playing for the hometown team?
Oh man. Man, watch the diet, man. You know? You got all type of people, family, friends, everybody won't cook for you, but you can't necessarily be on a diet that they're on. So that's probably number one. And I'll probably say, man, get it out the way early. Find out who want to come to the game, because, you know, you don't need those headaches, you know, the night before the game. Everybody trying to squeeze in. Especially from New Orleans, man. You know, New Orleans people only traveling to Atlanta. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only game they want to go to. So, but yeah, man, when you back home, you know, everybody want to wear their black and gold. Everybody want to be in a dome.
Did you put on weight when you came here initially?
Initially? Yeah. I probably said so. Yeah. I had a lot of red beans, a lot of gumbo. Oh man, bread pudding, cornbread. I was like, man, a lot of this stuff I ain't eaten in years. And I feel like I've been gone 10 years. And I came back and it's like, I got to like retaste all the food again. So, but not, that's real.
Yeah, so maybe that explains Tyron's slow start last year. He was like 5 pounds heavier than he wanted to be because everyone kept feeding him red beans and bread pudding. And he was like, okay, guys. Football season, I gotta chill.
And you know that dreaded when King K comes around, you can't refuse that either.
Yeah, no, I always enjoy talking to Tyrann. He's very funny. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But and he wasn't even the only food conversation we had in the locker room. Kind of shifting gears here, we also talked to Cesar Ruiz, who looks great, by the way. You know, when you're a lineman and suddenly you are dealing with a foot injury, like it's very easy to balloon up. Like you're eating constantly to kind of maintain a weight, and then suddenly you don't get the fitness level that you would normally have. And so, like, his offseason, like, one of the challenges he faced, and I'm sure Trevor faced the same thing dealing with the same injury, was like, okay, I want to get stronger, I want to get a little bigger, but I don't want to get too big. And he said that the biggest thing he had to do was limit the amount he went to Shake Shack. Not no Shake Shack, to be clear. Like, there's still
limiting
Shake Shack,
it, right?
But it's got you gotta slim it, trim it down a little bit. And that's how he managed to keep his weight where he wanted.
Maybe keep it to a single patty, a couple of fries, no Shack. And you can't have the shake, though, I don't think.
Yeah, we didn't get the chance to ask him what his go-to order is, but that was a big thing. He was in a very good, like, he did say, like, it really hasn't changed his offseason that much in terms of, you're not doing football drills during majority of the offseason anyway. It's a lot of fitness work. It's a lot of strength work, a lot of classroom work in terms of, like, your own classroom work, not classroom with the team, but, like, you're doing your own kind of stuff. And so, like, he said, basically, it really hasn't been that different for him. So I guess that's a good thing. I'm interested to hear from Trevor Penning how that has worked for him, because I think it probably is a little more difficult where he's at, having missed the majority of his rookie season, now dealing with another injury. We didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I'm sure we will pretty soon.
Yeah, I guess we could try to get, like, a whole segment we could do on, hey, what's your Saints diet kind of thing?
We I'm sure we could. It would not be difficult. Although, don't ask Jeremy Shockey, because he doesn't do endorsements.
No, exactly. It was a dick.
That's an inside joke. One time, Steve says he was asking everyone what their favorite candy was, and Jeremy
for Halloween, Shockey, yeah.
Yeah, he said he doesn't do endorsements.
He's like, I don't give endorsements. I was like, oh, okay,
then. Give endorsements. F you, Shockey.
It could have been cool and just been like, oh, chocolate or something. I don't know.
Embarrassed by his candy choice.
Maybe, right? It was, yeah. It turns out he's like a candy corn fanatic or something.
He's like a
mound
guy. Yeah, he likes, like, embarrassing candy. Like, he's a coconut candy guy and no one likes that.
Or those disgusting maybe. Circus peanuts. I don't even know what that's made out of.
He likes Peeps.
Ugh.
Not even our holiday, Jeremy.
On a different tangent, yeah, the Peeps. Someone showed me recently they had Pepsi Peeps. Ugh.
I'd rather die.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'd rather die. I'd rather die. But yeah, I mean, I think that's it. We're going to get into a lot of Derek Carr in the back end of this,
DC,
the final
DC.
Well, I've been confused because a lot of times we'll get texts from like the Saints saying so-and-so is available after blank. Or like, but they abbreviate Derek Carr to DC. And so I think they're saying
defensive coordinator. Yes.
Yeah. And I know more than one person got confused because they thought that, because they were saying DC is going to be at the podium after so-and-so. And more than one person thought that that meant that the defensive coordinator was going to go up after Dennis Allen. And it's like, well, no, hold on. We gotta sort this out. We gotta come up with a better abbreviation here. This isn't working. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a DA, we got a DC, but no DB. Oh, well, we got plenty of DBs. Ow!
Oh, wait. I have more. So we have another one, actually. And it's also like this. I'll play the rest of that tiring clip. So you know.
What's the comfort level coming in year two as opposed to year one, obviously working with Marcus for another season, the secondary group?
I definitely feel way more comfortable. Yeah. You know, definitely have a, you know, better understanding of the scheme, the philosophy. And, I think, too, you know, just being here, you know, with your teammates throughout the offseason workouts, I think all those things are, like, positives. You know, I think all those things kind of, you know, draw you closer to your teammates. So, you know, it's been cool to, you know, be around them. And, you know, we've taken a few trips, too, you know, outside of that. So, you know, I definitely feel like we're, you know, growing closer outside of football. But, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to football, we definitely understand each other, you know, much better.
Gotcha. And Coach Robertson, obviously Coach Woods. How has that kind of transition been for y'all?
It's been cool. You know, I think both of those guys are good coaches. You know, I think, you know, M-Rob is all about, you know, technique and, you know, fundamentals and, you know, straight into the ball. And, you know, I think Coach Woods is like that eagle in the sky. You know, he's been doing this a long time, so he got a lot of nuggets, you know, so we can learn a lot from both of them.
Is that an official nickname, M-Rob, or did you just come
up? That's his name. Every time he sent you a text, he's like, he ended with M-Rob.
So like,
you know, he gave himself that name, I guess. I don't know.
you either choose your own nickname or you give it your nickname.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. Hey,
I do appreciate that, because I do consider Tyrann Mathieu to be like the authority on nicknames, because he has the coolest one. But yeah, M-Rob. Let's keep that one in the canon there.
I guess because there could be a bunch of Robinsons?
I don't know. But he signs his texts with M-Rob.
Right, right.
So
I never had a cool nickname either. I was just usually Geller. Hey, Geller.
Yeah. I've never signed a text. I do think it's funny, because it's like, I think I said this, I was like, either you can have a nickname given to you or you can pick your own. But you got to do that early. You can't do that late, once because it's going to happen organically in the locker room. I think we asked when Dennis Allen got hired as head coach, I can't remember who it was we were talking about, and we were asking like who started calling him DA, and he was like, I don't think that it was anyone's decision. They just started doing it. Like, literally anything but Dennis would be fine. Like, just, you're fine.
Yeah, then it's like, hell, well, DA was the DC, but now he's the HC.
Too many C's.
Yeah, exactly.
But all right, let's close out that segment. This is Inside Black and Gold. If you haven't subscribed yet, do that. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We're going to come back and we're going to do basically all Derek Carr with a little smattering of some, maybe some Juwan Johnson in there, because he had some stuff to say. But all right, coming back for one more. Stick around.